God looks favorably upon you because of what his son did in your place. And so I think this passage can equally speak to those who feel not enough. And it should also challenge the people who think, I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Matt Hofer, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Matt, good morning.
Good morning.
Why are you here?
Great question. I don't know. No. So in these Beyond the Message podcasts, we usually have whoever preached the sermon the day before come in and kind of share what they talked about. As you prepare for a sermon, you're reading a lot, you're studying a lot, you're looking at scripture, and you can't include everything.
Yep.
And so this is a good kind of platform to include things that you couldn't include, i.e. the title Beyond the Message. With that said, Jake preached yesterday.
We are not Jake.
I am not Jake. And yet Jake's out of the office. And so instead of Beyond the Message from a preaching standpoint, this is kind of like Matt and Sam, armchair quarterback.
Yeah. Just Monday great. Morning yes. recap, figure, you know, yep, this, here's how we would have done it better. Yeah, right. Clearly we know, yeah. right?
Yep.
Yeah. No, I love, this series has been sweet.
Yeah. Yep.
No pun intended.
Yeah. There you go.
But really just enjoying, you know, as much as I love our regular diet of marching through books of the Bible and going deep and wide and
yep.
connecting all the pieces, it's also just awesome to see not like, hey, what does the pastor want to say?
Yep.
And then they're just like finding scripture right. to make it say it. It's like, no, yep. actually, like there's just – we can jump into something and we can be true to the text.
Right.
Like we can exposit two verses.
Yeah.
They don't yep. have to be connected to everything else. We can be faithful to the text, but also just pull out things that have been personally impactful, which yeah. really good preaching. First, you're preaching to yourself
right.
and then
Absolutely.
You're preaching to the congregation, the members yep. of the church, those that are gathered to worship together
yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Local church. So fun to be able to have a little bit of a different diet approach this summer. So
yeah
yesterday Jake jumped into Romans 5:6-8. I think I think initially just had 6 and 7, then he went to 6 and 8, and then he ended with 5-8. So we can't really make Ian feel bad for doing three verses because no. Jake went to 4. So
yes.
no surprise. I think
yep.
His 8 a.m. message might have been like 6 minutes longer than his service allotment time, but that was great. So we were in Romans 5,
yep.
6-8, really just seeing that the love that God has for us is unconditional and sacrificial,
yep.
and that's uniquely, expressly displayed through the death and resurrection and plan of redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ,
right.
our Lord and Savior. So Jake's big idea yesterday was knowing how you are loved by God fuels living for God. So usually our first question is if you were to include
yeah.
something, what would you,
yeah.
you weren't preaching or
not
expanding
preaching.
On anything,
yep.
but maybe just some highlights for you. What stood out yesterday just as I'm sure, you know, this is a text that a lot of us are familiar with, but, I think Jake had a great approach yesterday and pulled out some pretty sweet things from there
yeah.
that I haven't really sat in before. So what stood out to you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple things. The first one is just how he started. I mean, he started by asking the question, do you feel like you're not enough? Do you feel like mm-hmm. you're not good enough? Do you feel – and kind of been around the ministry world long enough to know that there's a lot of people who feel that way, right? And so
yeah.
It's interesting how
– and not just in the – you're saying like doing ministry, talking with the people.
Yes.
Just everyone.
Correct, yeah.
Like that is a
yes.
general human state.
And it's really interesting how usually – your best volunteers and some of the people who I would say, man, they are the most godly people that I know in our church are the ones who feel like this.
Mm. Yeah.
And so you can give a message on serving, or you can give a message on giving, or you can give a message really on taking any action. And it's often the people who we would say from a staff or pastoral standpoint, like, you are doing such a great job and you're going above and beyond. They're often the ones who feel, oh gosh, I'm just not doing enough.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think for some of them, this could have been a really comforting message for them. The thing though that I would also add to that is while this does speak to the person or the people who are feeling like they're not enough or they're a failure or whatever, this also should speak to the person who thinks they're awesome.
Hmm.
You know, and so I think there's a lot of Christians who think that they deserve God's favor, they've somehow earned God's favor. They compare themselves to their non-believing neighbor and think, well, yeah, of course God would show me favor. Yeah. And so this passage just as much speaks to that person when it's like, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. While you were ungodly, Christ, you brought nothing to the table. Kind of dovetails Ephesians 2. Mm-hmm. You were dead. Mm-hmm. You didn't do anything.
Yep.
Right. It's not because you're living this moral life or because you're nicer than your neighbor or because you help little ladies across the street that got – no, God looks favorably upon you because of what his son did in your place.
Yeah.
And so I think this passage can equally speak to those who feel frustrated, not enough, not living up to expectations, a failure. And it should also challenge the people who think, I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. So. I think it makes me think of like the parable of the building on the solid rock mm-hmm. versus building on the sand, yep. where it's like it at once is like, yeah, of course, like if you're trying to find value and worth and identity in and of yourself, it's mm-hmm. not going to be enough. But yep. God provides a solid foundation where it's like, this is actually what's worth it. But at the same time, exposes the fake like, no, you don't have it to right. like you're not right. enough. You yeah. don't have to. You can never be good enough.
Yep.
And yeah, I like the way that Jake marched through that. I think some of the things that stood out to me was just that the tenses used. Like mm-hmm. I had never yeah. really seen. I was like, wait, it's like right there. Like how have I never yeah. seen that? Like God shows so ongoing, yes. active. Yep. It has happened and it's continuing to happen. Like God continues to demonstrate His love. So yep. He's ongoingly showing His love. Through the fact that Christ has died.
Right.
And that did happen in accordance with Scripture. And it is something that is final, it's complete, but there's still ongoing active work yeah. in the previous action that God took to accomplish His plan of redemption and continues to unfold that right. before us. So that was super sweet. There was also like I was sitting in service and I texted John and Andrew and I was like, this needs to be a sermon clip or something, but just the reality about how like salvation, the point of salvation isn't how to as most expediently or
yeah.
most,
yeah.
like most efficiently save people.
Yeah.
But the point of salvation, God's love story that He's that written and showed us in the pages of Scripture, this plan of redemption. The point of it is to show God's glory yeah. and just that like, yes, that was so good.
And once
good.
Again, that just gets at the heart of like, we live in such a me-centric right. world where it's right. like, well, why is it? Well, think outside yourself for a second and God might be doing something bigger than your little thing.
Yeah.
So that's good. Good.
So anyways, yeah, I think, we could keep going on there.
Yeah.
So
yep.
they're just basically like, hey, what'd you like? But I'm sure those of you listening, you had things that stood out to you and love to hear those. Do have a couple of questions here. So second question,
yep.
Jake made it clear from the text that we're not enough. So we've spoke of this. We're weak, we're helpless, we're ungodly. We saw that like those kind of three things called out of what are true, what our mm-hmm. state is, just how unworthy we are. And ultimately we're ungodly sinners. We're helpless mm-hmm. sinners. We're weak sinners. And yet God's love meets us right there. So why is it so freeing to embrace that instead of trying to prove ourselves worthy of God's love?
Yeah. I mean, I think if your hope or goal or aim is to make a name for yourself and to, whether that's through accomplishment, through reputation, through whatever, you know, you're trying to put your identity and self-worth in, like you're never going to be enough.
So on that point, I was just listening to, listening to yep. 9 Marks of a Healthy yep. Church. And one of the stats, I think it's early on in like maybe chapter one, like mm-hmm. the first mark of like expositional preaching.
Yep.
One of the stats he lists of like the importance of expositional preaching and like we go to God's word and we prize it above all else. Is that there is actually no difference between secular people and those claiming to be evangelical Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 39% of people in both camps
yep.
are looking for the meaning of life.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like, yeah. yeah. that shouldn't be the case.
right.
Like we of all people should know,
yes.
like
right.
glorify God and enjoy right. Him forever. You don't have to give the Westminster answer, but like
right.
the point of life isn't you or yeah. about you.
Right. And if you try to make it about you, I mean, whether it's athletics, whether it's career, whether it's academics, whatever the case is, even if you like for 6 months, kill whatever thing you're trying to pursue. There will be a seventh month where you don't get 100%. Mm-hmm. There will be a seventh month where you don't win. There mm-hmm. will be a seventh month where you don't. And so like you're trying to build this foundation on something that at some point is going to fail you.
Yeah.
And so like that is just an exhausting, I mean, that really is my testimony. When I was 17, 18 years old, it's like I was trying so hard through academics and through athletics and through just all these things. And like, and yet I couldn't quite ever do enough to be like, oh, I've made it. And so just being free from that, being mm-hmm. like, God doesn't look favorably on you because you're awesome.
Yeah.
Like God looks favorably on you because of Jesus. Like that is just a, oh gosh, right. Like just such a.
Kind of like Ian's point, like you can either be crushed by the fact yeah. that you're not enough, or you right. can be freed that like
yeah.
you're not enough and Christ is.
Yes.
And you have it all in
yes.
him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is a very freeing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet. Yeah. I think that is like more of that battle if mm-hmm. we were more intentional to realize like that is more of a spiritual battle than just to like get your mind right or yeah. like change mm-hmm. or do better or have yeah. a different action. It's right. actually like, no, that's part of like, that's part of God's sanctifying work in you. And mm-hmm. it's a spiritual battle. And mm-hmm. you like in that, if you're striving to be enough, you're living according to the flesh.
Right.
But we've been called to walk according to the Spirit. Yeah. So stop thinking about yourself.
Right.
Like get your focus off of you.
Yeah.
Focus on what is true. Be filled with the Spirit. Go to God's word. Like dwell on what he says is true and right and honorable. Like set our minds on things above, not on things below. For what's above yeah. is eternal and what's below is temporary.
Right.
Like we can either be consumed with ourselves or we can be consumed with God.
Right. That's good.
And those things work out very differently.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sweet. All right. Third point here.
Yep.
Jake made the point that God's love isn't just something to understand. It's something to feel. How can we move from just knowing about God's love in our heads to experiencing in our hearts in a way that actually changes how we live?
Yeah. I mean, I think Jake kind of mentioned it at the end, but just going back to Romans 5:5. So he did pull in a fourth verse. Right. But I mean, even just that, like,
these are also like yeah. self constraints. This is yeah, not like, yeah, thus says the Lord, correct. Only two verses yes. each yep. Sunday. Yeah,
absolutely. We're just giving him a hard time. But even just, yeah, to pray that God's love would be poured into us and into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I mean, mm-hmm. I think like you can make that request. And also, back to even just like, do we focus on ourselves? Like, do we get up in the morning and think about what do I have to do and, yeah. and me, or do we continually remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel? And I love how Jake just very clearly articulated, like, you could have your worst day ever and God doesn't love you any less. Like you could have your worst week as a Christian, so many moral failings. I mean, just list after list after list. And God's not like, oh, I love you less now.
Right.
And you could have your best week ever. Like you just crushed it. You were in your Bible 5 hours a day. You helped, you know, whatever the case is. And God's not saying, oh, I love you more now. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just that reality is so comforting also.
Right.
Like God doesn't love me based off of my right. performance. I'm not earning God's favor. I'm not.
Yeah.
Like,
bear with me in this. Yeah. Does this make sense? Like you can't out-sin God's grace and you can't like be righteous, out-righteous God's
yeah.
mercy.
Like, yeah. Right.
Do you actually think that your sin is a surprise to God?
Right.
And it will undo the cross?
Like, right. Yeah. Hopefully not.
If you do,
hopefully you don't think that.
Wrong theology.
Right.
But the reality in that is like that's where like in temptation, like if we're able to like have like God provides an escape and we don't act on temptation,
yep.
that results in worship.
Yep.
If we're tempted with something and because of our deceitful hearts or our like sin nature or
yep.
whatever, like we choose to chase after that and we sin and we're either convicted by the Holy Spirit or confronted by a brother, or, mm-hmm. like it's made like we are brought to the place of repentance.
Yeah.
Like if repentance stops short of worship, you're doing it wrong. So whether you sin or don't sin, like you're the result is worship. Now
right.
that's not freedom to sin.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like if you just stop with like I feel bad and like the focus is on me, like if if your feelings of hatred of your sin end with you feeling bad about yourself and frustration that you're still doing it, like you're actually not going to God with your sin. You're trying to fix it yourself. And that's where like Jordan Howell has talked about the Repenter's Quadrant. Yeah. I think we've got that tool listed online. I can link that in the show notes. But like in repentance, you're either fixing your sin, talking about your sin, hiding your sin, or you're actually repenting.
Right.
And repentance actually requires both confession and action.
Yeah.
So like a confrontation of it with words and deeds.
Right.
And that's dependent upon God and not just like you doing better, you saying the right thing. So
that's like, good.
Yeah, it's we can't just stop with ourselves. Like if you're depending on yourself to fix your sin problem, like you're actually defaming Christ and preaching a different gospel to yourself.
Yep.
Interesting. So we've got a couple of listener questions here. Kind of, I think there's a couple stemming from same kind of place. I think there's, so just one, somebody wrote in just this, like how do I keep this in the forefront of my mind while facing adversity or being in a dark place, either mentally or spiritually, and like being in the midst of battle. And then another question that was similar to it, but how do you deal with the guilt and shame associated with past sin? Knowing like it is still sweet that God loves me after all of that, but there is this reality of guilt and shame still being so heavy, like, which I think for both of these questions, there is this like, it seems like we have to do, like, what do we do?
Yeah.
It seems like we need to do something.
Yeah.
What is that? What do we do?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly where these people are coming from or, you know, what kind of motivated this. So I'm just taking this kind of at surface level.
Yeah.
Right. And even getting back to what you said earlier, like there is a truth to rest in, then there's also something for us to do.
Yeah.
And so, you even sent me a 2-minute clip of something that I think was helpful, but
yeah, I can link that to it. John Piper does a solid joys, just like quick devotional. And this was today's just for combating discouragement. I was like, here's this. So I'm going to send it to both of these people.
Yeah. So I think there's like truth to rest in. And so even that you're just talking about that, he mentioned a couple passages. One is Psalm 73:26, and it says, my flesh and heart may fail. And so even just looking at those two questions, like, your flesh and heart are going to fail. You're going to have, moments of why this and why that. And, and so, that will happen. It says, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Yeah.
And so once again, it's not you fixing your problem. I think the point he makes,
it's not just my flesh, my heart may fail. It's they have failed.
Correct. Right.
Like, it is like, this is already true.
Right.
But
And it is, it's like, but God,
right.
You know? And so we see that time and time again in scripture, like in Ephesians 2, like we were dead, but God, you know? And so I think if we immediately go to our own problem solving, to our own methodology, to our own, well, we're going to fix this problem. It's my response. It's like, of course you're going to have that reaction. Like, well, I can't do this. I'm not. Yeah. But God. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he mentioned another one, just Psalm 23:2-3. He leads me. Now I lead myself. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Mm-hmm. Not I, he. Mm-hmm. And so I think, what do we have to rest in? I think we have to rest in the fact that God is the one who leads us by still waters. God is the one who gives us strength. God is the one who brings us from death to life, not me. Mm-hmm. So like there's a truth to rest in, but then there's also an action to take. Like I have to cast my cares upon the Lord and I have to go to him in prayer. Even that last question, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like when I read that question right away, I was like, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right. Well, I'm trying to remember where this was from, but, trying to think what the text was anchored in, but the point, was made if you are feeling conviction over unconfessed sin, that is from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because by his grace, he is allowing that to be brought to light.
Yep.
Now, I don't know how many of you people here listening are aware of pop culture stuff, but there was a very like, some CEO got caught cheating with his like head of HR at a Coldplay concert because of a kiss cam. And like, there's this like, well, you, like he wrote a statement very like it was such a non-apology apology. And then he's even considering legal action because he's like, well, you made this public. Yeah, you like this.
Yeah,
you should have been caught. Like you did this to yourself. So anyways, sorry. That's a side note. A lot of great conversations there about just the reality of like sin doesn't like to be brought to the light.
Yeah.
And but by God's grace, he does expose sin within us. So if there's unconfessed sin and we feel guilt and shame over that, that's from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's not to bring you down. It's not to make you feel like garbage.
Yeah.
It's to bring you, like, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Like, like the point is so that we can be restored in Christ. The point is so that sin is brought to light and we walk in the light. We walk according to the Spirit and we don't pursue unrighteousness. We pursue righteousness. So, like, unconfessed sin, guilt and shame from the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Confess sin,
yep.
Guilt and shame, that's the accuser.
Yeah.
That's where you turn back around and you say, no, look at the cross.
Yeah.
Like, my debt has been paid. You have no bearing on any, like, I mean, that is, and that's not to say like you're going, you're like fist to fist with Satan, but more so probably in your flesh. Like it's a foothold for Satan to make you feel that you are unworthy, but you are unworthy.
Right.
But the good news is that he is worthy.
Yeah.
And so just that, I think reality of like, all right, have I actually confessed this? Okay. If I have, it's been paid for. Yeah. Like I'm confessed. I can clean conscious. I don't have to hide this. Like that's not gonna be fun. There's probably gonna be consequences, but like I get to walk in that. But if there's unconfessed or if there's confessed sin that you're feeling guilt and shame, I don't even know what it, guilt and shame over your sin. That is not righteous conviction from the Lord.
Yep, so absolutely.
I think delineating those two things can be helpful.
Yep. That's good.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, so if you're listening to this and you don't, I mean, if you're looking for just a short, encouraging podcast, I often feel a lot of times like I was just talking to somebody, like I share this a lot, but it's just from Desiring God. It's the Solid Joys. It's a daily, like, anywhere between 2 to 5 minute podcast. So today's on 7:21 is really good, just about models for combating discouragement. So
that's great.
Yeah, I just think really, I mean, the answer is like we don't look inward.
Yeah.
Like if we're feeling bad about ourselves, stop looking at ourselves.
Right.
Like we behold and we fixate our eyes on Christ and on who God is and what he's done. Go to scripture, like encounter God's character, encounter God's word, be changed and transformed, and stop. We don't just need to fix ourselves. Like tell the story. Like we live in God's story. So lean into that. Sweet. Church. Yeah. If you have a question that you want us to address on this podcast, submit it through the form in the digital program or in the weekly connection group email. Jake's big idea again yesterday. Matt, thanks for stepping in.
Hey, absolutely.
This is great.
Hey, and
we don't need the preacher. And if
me or you didn't answer the question, I mean, ask Jake when he gets back. So.
Right. Yeah. You sent him an email at bigmike@veritaschurch.org. No, I'm just kidding. That's Michael's. That's Michael's fake email that actually I think works. Let's just research all the time. But yeah, send us a question. Come talk to Jake. We're happy to work through any of that. If we said anything that you think is confusing, we want to know too. We want to chat through it. So Jake's big idea yesterday, again, from Romans 5:5-8, was knowing how you are loved by God fuels living for God. Church, thanks for joining us. Join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.